I thought tonight we'd jump in a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13, just a handful of verses here. It's kind of interesting what is going on here. It's literally a call. It's a calling. And so I thought, well, we need to talk about our calling. It's important for us to understand about being called. This calling is about Paul being called into the mission field, being called to be a minister. This passage of Scripture is read a lot at ordinations. I've done several ordinations before, so a lot of times I will read from this passage of Scripture because it relates to someone being called and set aside and so forth. So we're going to jump in Acts chapter number 13. We'll just read the first four verses. It says, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus." I mean, you got four verses of Scripture that a lot of stuff is going on in them four verses of Scripture. There's a lot happening here. It's not just, okay, let's all get together and have prayer. Okay, you two guys are heading out. There's time that expired and lapsed here. There's things that are being considered. There's communication. There's a lot of prayer. There's seeking God. So there's a lot of things, a lot of dynamics to this whole calling and putting them into the mission field. So this is a precious time. It's an important time. When we think about Paul and Barnabas being called into this evangelism and ministry of being going to city to city, place to place, sharing the gospel of Jesus, we think this is different, because they're being called for something specific. They're being called into the, ministry role, the pastorate type role, that minister preacher type role. So when we read this verse of Scripture, it is common for us to use it in when we relate to perhaps somebody being ordained. And again, it's very fitting for that too. But what we don't need to lose sight of is this: everybody that has been saved has been called. Maybe not to go into the mission field and be an evangelist and share Jesus in other countries. Perhaps that's not your calling. But we need to understand the importance of the call that God has placed on our lives, on my life, on your life. Regardless of your position within the church, regardless of where you feel like you fit or where you feel like you don't fit, you are called. If you're called into salvation, you are called unto service. Those are two distinct calls in everybody's life. You will have both. Everybody will be called unto salvation, and then everybody that accepts the call, surrenders the call of salvation, will be called into service. And it doesn't happen long before you're called into service. When Paul got saved, he was still Saul, and he got saved on the road to Damascus. And remember that as soon as he went into the Damascus, he was blind and he couldn't see. Now, later on, when Ananias came and prayed, it said that his eyes were open. It's like scales fell from his eyes. I wonder what that must have looked like. It doesn't sound too attractive. It sounds kind of gross, really. But whatever it was that had his vision blurred, that when Ananias went there to pray, that these scales came off his eyes, he was able to see. And the Bible says immediately he began preaching Jesus. He didn't wait to get permission from the church. He didn't go back to Jerusalem. It was years before he went and talked to those guys. He started preaching and telling people about Jesus Christ. So when we get saved, when you got saved, I know I love to see when somebody gets saved. Just sharing with Jake on Monday about when he got saved this past Sunday, and just seeing the excitement of a new creation, somebody that's brand new spiritually, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? They're just so, it seems so pure and so innocent, and you see that that unwavering belief and faith in Jesus. Man, I wish I was there. Don't you? I let the world mess me up. But that 7-year-old kid that I was when I got saved, man, I just believed God could do anything, anytime He wanted to, and I just believed it. But then I started thinking for myself and messed all that up. Started looking at things and people and stuff and my abilities and my lack of abilities and all those kind of things. Anyway, get back to the concept is that when Saul got saved, he immediately started preaching because he was called into salvation. Then he was immediately called into service. There are distinct callings that will happen in our lives, no doubt, yeah. I got saved at 7, but I didn't get called to preach at 7. Been a little tough for me, you know. I barely knew some of the stories then. Been a little tough for me to preach at 7. But God still called me to serve. Because I remember after getting saved, what's the first thing, one of the first things that you do if you were saved when you were young, and perhaps even as you're older too, but when you get saved, what's one of the first things you want to do? You want to tell everybody that you're saved because you are so thrilled to be in the kingdom of God and you want everybody to know it. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love it when somebody comes up to you? And I know like during Bible school or when we're having Camp Cove or wherever we're at and we have some young people that get saved, they just start going around telling all the adults in Bible school, I just got saved, I just got saved. It's the greatest thing ever. So they got saved. They answered the call to salvation. Then they immediately answered the call to service. So they're already serving. They're telling people about Jesus. But then later in life, as we begin to grow and mature spiritually, there are going to be these distinct callings that are in our life, okay? But in parallel to what we read in chapter number 13, everybody that gets saved, it must answer and respond to that call unto service, whatever level that service might be. So the first thing to consider is where they were. Look in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch. Where were they at when this happened? They were in church. Well, you don't have to go to church to be right with God. Well, I kind of want to lean like, he kind of said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, didn't he? I'm not talking about this building, this church house, or just Baptist churches, or just what. I'm talking about churches and believers gathering together. We are commanded to gather together. When people tell me, I can be just as good of a Christian staying at home and not going to church as you can going to church, I say, you cannot. I don't think you can. Those of you that love to be around other believers and love to be involved in church, how do you feel when you're out for a month? You feel like your life is in the gutter. I mean, don't you just feel spiritually drained and empty and you just feel terrible? There is something to be said about this fellowship that we have here. There's something to be gained here. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's something about you and I coming together and just greeting each other, hugging each other, shaking a hand of each other, smiling at each other, sitting around a table in a classroom talking about the Word of God. Talking about how it relates to our lives, pulling a little nugget out of there that helps me in my walk of life. There's something beautiful about being in a church house with other believers. I don't think it's possible for somebody to be as close to God when they're not a part of that congregation, that body of believers. I think they are cheating themselves out of great blessings and great wisdom and great growth by choosing not to be a part of local believers. I had a family tell me, oh, but we sit and watch this guy from somewhere else. I don't even know where he's at now, out west somewhere. We watch him on TV, and so we're part of that church. And I'm thinking, my goodness, if that's the only church I got, I ain't getting that much church. I mean, there's something about us coming together. When we share prayer requests, we can share it with people that we know care about what we're sharing, and they're going to pray with us. You may not realize it or not, and I know I've said it before, but maybe you don't really get it, but I want you to get it. I want you to get this. You feed me. You give me strength to just talk to you and to be here with you, for us to pray together, eat a meal together, laugh together. Just the fellowship that we have, I draw from that. And that's what gives me strength to go from day to day to day. When I'm battling or struggling with a decision or an obstacle in my life, knowing I got people that love me and praying for me. And I think you feel the same way, don't you? Yeah. That's something beautiful about church. So what better place then for God to call these men out to a specific ministry than to be in church? Well, could God have called them out there in the field? Absolutely, God can, and He has called people wherever they're at. But I think it's important to note, while they were gathered for prayer, God really brought down something beautiful and opened up a door and an avenue of ministry for them. So it's being in the right place if we want to hear God. Not having selective hearing, but if we want to hear God, what better place can we hear God than in God's house? I'm seeking God. I'm really wanting to, you know, and you hear people say that all the time. So I've invited people to church. Oh, yeah, I need to get back in church. I need to get close to the Lord. So they already know if I'm going to get close to the Lord, that by me being in church, in the church house, around where the Word of God's being preached, it sure helps me hear God a little bit better, because I'm not being distracted by all these worldly things, but I'm focusing on these things that are important. So being in the right place to hear God. Secondly, in verse number 2, it said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So the Holy Ghost spoke to them, however He did that, and whatever He said, however He, but the Holy Ghost spoke. So when He spoke, that lets us know this was a divine calling. These men were called out into the mission field by the Holy Spirit of God. He spoke and He said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for this work that I'm going to tell them what they're going to do. So it is a divine calling. When we get saved, we are called into salvation by a divine calling. Spirit of God convicts us of our lost condition, tells us we need to be saved. So secondly, then, when we're called into that ministry or into service or whatever it is He calls us to do, that is also a divine calling. We don't choose that for ourselves, even though we'd like to. There sometimes, have you ever had envy or jealousy for somebody else that's serving in ministry and you weren't gifted in that area? Have you ever been jealous of somebody else before? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. Have you ever thought, oh man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could play an instrument. I wish I could just sit up there and just around that table in that classroom and just read 3 verses of scripture and talk for 45 minutes on it. Beautiful words just flow from the mouth. I still envy those guys. But have you ever been envious of somebody? It's because we're desiring something that God's not called us to do. I'm not saying we don't need to strive to be better at sharing and declaring God's word, but we need to listen intently to the Spirit of God as He calls us and let the Spirit guide us into what we need to be doing. It's a divine thing. It's a God thing. It's not a us thing. Because When I first felt the tug to preach, there are a whole lot of other things I said I'm going to be really, really good at, God, and it wasn't preaching. I mean, I made a list, and I did all of them. I did everything I could except preach to prove to God, you missed that calling with me, and I need to be teaching Sunday school class. I need to be a deacon. I need to be Sunday school director. I need to be training union director. I need to be an usher. I need to be, I went through all these things in these positions. It's like, God, I know what I need to do. I know what I'm good at. I'm good at this. Don't be calling me to preach. I'm not good at that. I won't be good at that. But you see, it's not really up to me what God tells me I need to be doing. It's for me to listen when the Spirit speaks and obey what the Spirit says. So when God speaks to you and He guides you, know that He's not saying it just to be mean to you. I thought for a while God was just mad at me. Well, you wouldn't call me to preach if you wasn't mad at me, because that's a lifelong commitment. I'm locked in the rest of my life, you know. I got to be that from now on, you know, and I'm thinking of all the challenges, how hard it's going to be. I'm thinking of the light. Oh, my life's changing forever now. Thanks, God, you know. We got to understand that whatever it is that God tells you He wants you to do, that's coming straight from heaven. It's God. And we need to listen to that and do our best to obey that. And when He speaks, when He guides, when He leads, do the best we can to follow what it is He's telling us to do. So then thirdly, verse number 2, right after it said that the Holy Ghost spoke and He said, here's what He said. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Separate. What was the first call for them from the Holy Spirit? He said, I want you to separate these two guys from the rest of the people in the group. Separate Barnabas and Saul, from everybody else that's in the room. There are a lot of people in the room. Several names were mentioned, but perhaps there were even more there that were praying in the church. But He said, I want you to separate these two guys from everybody else. So there's something distinct that I want to do with these guys. There's something unique about them that I'm calling them into this specific ministry for this specific purpose. There's a separation that's got to take place. Regardless of what area of ministry God may call you into, regardless of what calling God may have on your life, they all come with this hashtag, separate. They all come with that. So what does that mean, preacher? It means that in every calling that God calls us, He's telling us to separate ourselves from the world and connect ourselves to Him. It's not unusual that they use the word separate unto me, these two men. Well, sure, He meant just take them and put them over here, but it goes much deeper than that. He's saying, I want these two men to separate themselves from the world in order for them to be effective for the kingdom of God in the ministry I'm calling them into. So there must be that separation from the world. You and I have got to draw the line, and we've got to stand on God's side of the line. We've got to choose. That's what we got to do. We got to choose. So separate ourselves from the world. If we hear the call from the Holy Spirit, and we know that it's Him calling, and if we're going to be able and equipped to respond to that in a proper way, it requires us to separate ourselves from the world in order to connect ourselves to whatever ministry God's calling us into. What does the Bible say? You can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve the world and serve Christ at the same time. I can't grab hold the hand of Christ and also grab hold of the hand of the world. You can't hold both hands. You can only have one master. You can only have one. So we got to choose which master it's going to be. You got to choose who you're going to serve. If I'm going to serve God, then I got to serve God. If I'm going to serve man, I got to serve man. But if I'm going to be who and what God wants me to be in whatever ministry He calls me into, then I've got to separate myself from this world. And that's what He said to Paul. Man, you've got to separate yourself. If you're going to be effective for the ministry of God, for the kingdom of God, then you've got to separate yourselves. And then verse number 3, He said, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, fourth and final thing is they got busy. They went straight to work. They didn't fool around. They didn't sit around and, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Let's get a game plan. Let's spend the next 6 months. Let's draw a map of all the cities around. And let's plan out this missionary journey, Saul, that you're going to go on. Let's decide what cities we need. You know what Saul did, him and Barnabas? They picked up a overnight bag, and they just took off walking. They went because the Spirit called them, and He said, go. They prayed over them. They laid hands on them, and they sent them away. They sent them away to go preach the gospel. There's no real wrong place to preach the gospel, is there? So it didn't really matter where they went. Of course, God was going to guide them to the specific cities he needed to go. But everybody needs to hear the gospel. We get so caught up in what plans we think we need to make to accomplish God's will that we miss the Holy Spirit. We're saying, hey, I appreciate your input, Spirit, but if you'll sit down and just be quiet over there, we'll have a plan here in about another 6 weeks. When the Spirit's just saying, get up and go, just go, just do. As you go. When Jesus shared the Great Commission, that's what he said. He said, go ye therefore, which is interpreted as you go. That's what that means. Go ye therefore means as you go. He said, and which is his key, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the first thing we've got to understand. We're not the power. We don't know what we're doing. We're a bunch of dumb sheep walking around in a pasture. We don't have a clue what's going on. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So now as we go ye therefore, as you go, baptize them, teaching them to observe, baptizing in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a certain place, a certain time. It's just every day, all the time is what I'm telling you. Wherever I lead you, wherever you're at, if you're at the grocery store, the ball game, whatever's going on, if you're at a red light and you're just singing top of your lungs, you know, one of your favorite Christian songs, you got the windows down, the people looking out the window across from you think, you're nuts. Yes, I am. I'm crazy for Jesus, you know. That's even a witness. Whatever it is, just do. Just go and do. We worry a whole lot more than we should about how to minister properly, I think, don't you? Well, I'm going to develop a seminar, and it's going to be, you know, a month long. We're going to meet 3 times a week, and we're going to sit and we're going to break down a wonderful plan of how you minister in this lost world. We can sum it up with one phrase, just go. And tell them about Jesus. Just go and tell them about Jesus. That's what Paul did. That's what Barnabas did. That's what they were involved in. They were involved in letting people know Jesus is the only way into salvation. They laid hands on them. They had the blessing of the church. They sent them out, and wherever they went, they went. Don't clog up or mess up the path God has for you. We have a problem doing that, don't we? How many times have you said, I'm trying not to look at you, Alan, because I'm thinking, how many times have you said, Lord, I'll do anything? How many years had you taught before you came over? About 10 years. Alan came over here and joined church with us, and he loved it, didn't he? Just loved being here, loved being a part of the church, him and his family. We love him dearly. This is long before we, you know, ordained him as deacon on. I'll do anything, Lord. What was the conversation you had with the Lord today? I'll do anything, Lord, but I don't want to teach. Can I ask you a question? How did that work out for you? Not too good. It wasn't long after.
That next Sunday, you knocked on the door and got me out of Earl's class. We need to talk.
Yeah. I pulled him in the principal's office, and so now the rest of the story, you know what happened. He's got one of the biggest classes, but I'm not trying to build Alan up and lift his head up any more than it needs to be. He's doing a great job in there, but the thing of it is, when we say, oh, I'm not ready for that. This is where, when we get involved in those kind, isn't it funny how God comes out and he gives us the very thing that we think is not right for us? But, oh, would you change anything, Alan? How blessed are you, man? It's awesome. It's awesome. And you see, if we have that mindset as God leads us to know, if God's leading me to do something, you know what? Where that leadership goes, just think about this for just a second. That is the only path where there are blessings. The only one. Any other path you go on is zero blessings. The only place you're going to be blessed is walking the path God has for you. So even if it's challenging, if it's a little nervous, even if we're not sure if we're equipped for it or not, if God's calling, if God is leading, do your best to follow. Because otherwise, I'm going to tell you right now, otherwise you will not be blessed. But when God calls, if we obey, whoo, sky's the limit. God bless him. So surrender to the call. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And wherever he leads you, get ready to grab an overnight bag and go. Don't argue with God. Don't try to plead your case. Get up and go, because he is the only one that will bless you, and it'll only be blessed in his path. We'll have a quick word of prayer, then we'll get ready for our business meeting.